There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hitting in the shadow undercover at night. I'm a bad I do it tight. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying to true. And if you want to step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
And welcome to Marvel Avengers Alliance, the number one game from Playdom about Marvel. Just say it. Of course, we're actually from the Helicarrier, because I got distracted by all the different things going on. I mean, we're the number one news source for Marvel Avengers Alliance on Facebook. And let me just go ahead and kick it off to Soapbox Klotz, who is much more organized than I am right this second.
Three fingers, Charles, between your mouth and your microphone. Give us three fingers.
Here's one finger. Here's another finger. There you go. I got two fingers in between me and the microphone. So, did I blast you? I apologize, guys.
It sounded a lot like this.
Well, I'm a little distracted. I'm in the Hulkbuster came into my studio.
Literally.
Here we go. For the fans who are listening live on Twitch, you get to see the Hulkbuster has come into my studio and destroyed everything I have. So I'm piecing everything back together slowly but surely. And, you know, I am a little distracted, so I apologize. But so Boss Klotz is here in the house, and he is much better at this than I am right this second. How are you doing, Klotzy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I just said I was. Don't throw it back like
that. I'm just loving you on the hot seat here.
No kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
I pick fall, and I do this all the time, but I always can't get it quite right.
It's like a model. So the photographer goes and checks all the light balances and does all the testing, says, all right, I think we've got everything balanced perfectly. And then she says, cool, now let me switch into this silver outfit.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. I'll take that. And the warm and illustrious voice that you hear from the ever so professional,
the nitpicking and judgmental voice you're hearing.
That would be golden age. Oh,
thank you, man. Yes. Welcome to another From the Helicarrier. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about Spec Ops number 26 and the Hulkbuster alts for Iron Man, as well as a new set of weapons that maybe have a little interesting bit to them. We'll get to that. Also, Hulk has a new pair of trousers. We're going to visit the Sears men's department, the big and tall men's department, and see what's in store for those. And dailies. Is there a change? Has there been something changing in the dailies? We'll find out more about that. Also, we get another visit from Uncle George, and we talk about some Valve Skyrim mod controversy, and we'll even have a special From the Helicarrier announcement later on the show. That's a lot of stuff.
Woo! Yes, it is. Yes. That's awesome. It's awesome. So, Klotz, there's a whole lot on sale right now. Can you squeeze it all into the show?
I think I can. I think I might be able to sneak it all in.
Let's see if you can keep it down to 10 minutes. Can you get 10, yeah. Keep it to 10 minutes on this?
Well, there is some stuff on sale today. We've got the new Spec Ops item, as usual, the 64 gold weapon for the Spec Ops set, which is the Legion Pulse Rifle, which we talked to, I believe we had a chance to talk about a little bit last week. Spec Ops had hit by then, right? So, you know, we talked about that already. That's still available and will continue to be, and I'll mention it each week as we go forward. But more importantly, one of our big questions was answered about what was going to happen with Spec Ops 25 EISOs. And those are currently available until April 30th. That is two more days, which probably only means one more day. I think it'll probably go away at midnight tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that is all of the Spec Ops 25 EISOs are available. Most of them are 30 gold, with the exception of Hawkeye's knocking ISO 8, which is only 20. As well, we have a much longer sale all the way until May 1st, you know, much longer entire day. We have a bunch of classic lockboxes available. I believe all of the lockboxes that are currently supposedly unavailable are available for one gold apiece.
Yes.
And I took advantage of this to get Juggernaut myself.
Good. That's a good one to pick up.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, he's one of my favorite villains, and
he's fun.
He's a lot of fun. It was kind of a nightmare though. I started buying lockboxes the day that the Spec Ops hit, and you know, the server was kind of unstable that day because so many people were playing, and so I was like, at one point I bought 80 at one point, and so I buy 80 and I start cracking them, and about halfway through I get a forced refresh after I open a set of them. So I come back in and I'm like, all right, sorry. Yeah, you know, it's probably okay. It's no big deal. So I just open the rest of them. So I buy 30 more and I come back in and I go to open those and I get a forced refresh, log back in, and I don't have any lockboxes.
At all?
Right. None at all.
Wow.
So okay. I was like, okay, did it just not save the transaction? And I'm looking at my gold and I'm like, I have no idea how much gold I had right before I bought 30. Like, I've recently partaken in 2 gold sales. I knew I still had some residual gold left, you know, even though I had bought some characters and some other stuff. And I was like, dang it. Like, I don't know if I just lost 30 gold or not.
Oh, man.
So I put a ticket in. And, you know, we've been talking about Playdom support since it went over to Disney Interactive. And I put a ticket in and I said, hey, listen, you know, I bought 2 sets of lockboxes. You know, the server was unstable. I got forced refreshes. But when I came back in for the 30 that I bought, I can't tell if I just didn't get charged for these or if they're just missing. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I said, can you check my transactions? And they got back to me 2-3 days later. It was a little bit of a delay. And the response I got was, can you go in and take a screenshot of your collection page? And I'm like, no, because not even like 12 hours before that, I went in and just bought the rest of them.
Oh, no. Because you hadn't heard from them. Well, I'm not going to hear back, so might as well do it. Oh, no.
Well, I hadn't heard from them.
Which is a hard place to be, for sure.
Yeah, my assumption was like, okay, I hadn't heard back from them. It's like, well, they'll get back to me one way or the other. But like, my assumption was that they can just go in and check, you know, my transactions. Mm-hmm. Because my understanding of most games like this is that, especially with an in-game currency that's attached to real-life money, usually they track those purchases. You know, they at least have a log of it.
Right.
And so, like, that's just, I basically wanted to know, did you see me buy 30 twice? Because if you did, well, one of them just oofed on me. Mm-hmm. So I have to respond to them. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm just going to be like, hey, I already bought them. Like, so I can show you.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, I didn't hear back from you, so I thought maybe I wasn't going to hear back from you, so I just went ahead and rebought them. But can you check and see if I double bought them? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in discussing this with some of our Agents Only Lounge hooligans, a couple people mentioned that now that support is through Disney Interactive, they don't necessarily have access to our game data anymore. And I'm like, oh, that is going to be a thing. And it's like, I'm kind of on that fence where I'm like, you know, do I push the issue or not? Because 30 gold's a bit, but it's not so much that I'm like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if I did lose my 30 gold, I want my 30 gold. Well, and I also did buy 2 sets of gold recently because I ended up having to buy another one to cover the guys for the Spec Ops. So I was like, oh man, they should probably just give it to me, right? Like, if they can't double check it and they can't confirm it, I think like when you've bought that much gold, you should probably just get the extra 30.
I would think so.
We're just going to chalk that up to getting lost in the shuffle.
Exactly.
I don't know.
The player the benefit of the doubt is what I say.
Well, that's what they used to do. You know, like if they couldn't confirm something and it was a reasonable request and they could go and look, oh, hey, yeah, that day we had stability issues, they would usually throw a moan. I'll keep you guys updated next week. I'm going to respond to them probably today or tomorrow, and I'll let you know how it all pans out.
You're totally just going to get like a Tinkerbell sticker to place on your Facebook icon or something. It's like, we're sorry, but here's your sticker for contacting us. Thank you.
Here's Eeyore. Yeah.
I'm going to get like a Mickey Mouse alt for one of the characters.
Yeah. We would have taken care of that, but Eeyore says no. Right.
So I just wanted to share that with everybody. The ongoing Disney Interactive Support saga. Well, I'll have some update for that. That about wraps it up for the current sales.
Before we leave that, though, let's talk about the EISOs, the previous EISOs. Because I think the general consensus that I've been seeing online is that the only one that seems like a must-buy is the Hawkeye, the knocking.
Yeah, I bought that.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. Okay, so you guys are hearing the same thing.
I was chit-chatting with Nikolai the other day on Skype, and we were talking about the sale. We were both, you know, I think we were both pretty happy to see that they made them available.
Yes. To
purchase this way.
Yeah.
And so I was going through it, and I'm like, well, you know, I've already got caffeinated. I've already got finishing. Do any of these really jump out to you? And he immediately said, you got to get the Hawkeye one. Mm-hmm. That the speculation right now is that this could make Hawkeye a viable character again. Maybe not top tier, but definitely amp him up. And the good thing to note is it's cheaper than the other ones. So
yes. It also makes a really, you know, actually gives you more of a level playing field comparison when you're doing these heroic battles in the spec ops and you're thinking to yourself, well, am I going to farm this one? Am I going to come back and do this heroic battle again? Or should I do a reroll, you know, a respin? You know that before too long, you're going to be able to pick it up for 30 gold. So, you know, if you're planning on doing more than 6 respins for that heroic EISO, then you're wasting your money.
Right.
That's the way to look at it. So,
yeah, I mean,
and now we know.
We get a nice hard target for that. Yeah.
Yeah, and if they continue this trend where they keep doing this, where, you know, we get some heroic battles in a spec ops with some new EISOs and then they make them available for a little while afterwards to be purchased, that sounds great to me.
Yeah.
Especially for anybody who, like you said, like in this spec ops in particular, people just didn't want to farm these heroics anymore because they were
missing. It was tough and it was hard because of resources.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, well it's everything. It's especially difficult like for the newer players and players who are coming up the ranks, you know, it's like, oh man, these fights are a slugfest, you know. They're like they're very RNG oriented and they're tough, you know. So they not only do they take all those resources, but they're just a struggle. When I finally beat the Molly one, I was like, I'm just going to respin till I get these because, you know, I was fortunate. It only cost me 20 gold. So,
oh, good. you still know, got a discount.
But, you know, that's around the point where, like, if I hadn't gotten the, I don't know that I would have kept spinning for much longer after that. I think 25, 30 gold is about my cap anyways. And Playdom has spoken. They're like, yeah, you know, that's about where we value these is about 20 to 30 gold. So, absolutely awesome.
And I will tell you, I have, and we'll talk about the spec ops in detail in a minute, the current one, but I did get to the Hulkbuster versus Hulk heroic and succeeded with it and got to the spin. And I was lucky enough to get the Iron Man heroic, the EISO on the first spin, like on the free spin. And knowing that, all right, I can eventually buy the Hulk later on, you know, when the spec ops is over, definitely makes it so that I'm saying to myself, you know what? I don't ever have to do that heroic again. And I'm really happy about that. We'll talk about that when we get to the spec ops 26 stuff, but which I think is next. I mean, we're jumping, or should we jump right into current events?
Of course you can build the weapons, so you know, save your stuff for building the weapons instead of just jumping in and buying the 64 gold. Just a reminder to everybody, yes, there's a 64 gold weapon.
For sure. And and kind of true to form, actually before we do spec ops, you want to talk about a current Spartan? a new Spartan?
Oh, that's right. You know what? There is. I missed a message last week, so I promised I would get in this week, and here I am trying to sweep it under the rug again. And he is listening live in the chat room, but Agent Alcatraz has made 300. I noticed there's no FTH on that. We might have to knock him down to 298, well, that's, 297. That's,
he's just, already just promoting just, the Avengers Legion group, I think. Yeah. So we'll work on him. We'll work on him. By the way, my people might run into me now in PvP. As promised, I did change my name to FTH Let Me Win. Agent FTH Let Me Win. So
right. So you know, and quick, real good. Congratulations, Alcatraz, for making it in. We give you grief, but 300 is a good thing. Klotz, how far away are you? When are we going to be able to
I'm
do
like
the
235, 233, 235, somewhere in there.
Okay.
So we need a stat tracker to try to every week. He'll mention what level he's at, and you can kind of put the odds on it.
I sat here the other day and I played for about two and a half hours straight. I finished up season 2, chapter 1 to get all the goodies that you get from doing that, because I had recently recruited all those guys, and I gained a couple levels that way. And I'm on the grind, man. I'm starting. I'm doing my catch up. I'm kind of feeling like Octomom right now, though, because I bought a ton of guys recently, and they're all babies. Like, I have...
Easy now, Charles. Easy.
I'm sorry. I thought this joke was going somewhere else. I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have a stable full of little toddler heroes that are all like level 2, 3, 4, or 5, something like that, and it's a little overwhelming because I just like I can't figure out if I'm coming or going with most of them. They're all over the place, so I've got my flight deck loaded up with guys training up, and I'm trying to bring them into some of the different things that I'm doing and whatnot. So yeah, I got a lot of grinding to do, and I've been on that grind again, so nice. Thought I'd share that with everybody.
Good. Well, it'll be fun to actually continue to track your progress as the weeks go by.
And then we'll have to have a special segment, in all seriousness, of the every guy, you know, whatever we want to call it, under 200, where somebody has to call in and give a perspective. Because honestly, it's been a great thing, besides the many other great things you bring to the table. One of them was that you were under 200. You could give us that different perspective. And now that you're on the grind, we might be, everybody listening, we might have you call in and tell us what your experience was under 200.
So, yeah, for sure.
There you go.
Cool. Well, let's talk about Spec Ops. Spec Ops 26 dropped last week, last Thursday. And it's funny, this is the week. Right now we are in that, the event horizon between the release of Age of Ultron, the film, for the rest of the world and Age of Ultron, the film, for America. So this is that 1 week period where we've got a Spec Ops based on a movie that a lot of the world has seen, but we haven't seen here in the USA. And
and thankfully they're being very well behaved and not spoiling.
They are. Anything. They're being very good. Yeah, I've been just doing my best to avoid any reviews or anything like that. I've been hearing that it's great, and it's been super, super positive reviews all across the board. And I was going to see it anyway, but that's great to hear. Yeah. So very cool. So keep that silence up, and we'll honor I can't remember his name all of a sudden. Show writer for Breaking Bad.
Bryan Cranston.
Not Bryan Cranston. The writer. Shoot. Anyway, he once came out and said that the official waiting time for spoilers is 2 weeks. So Vince Gilligan. Gilligan says that.
That seems legit. I can get behind that.
Yeah. So in 2 weeks, we'll start talking about some things from Age of Ultron. We obviously won't be super spoilery here, but let's say there's a new character that shows up. We may want to talk about whether that person will show up in the game or something like that. So
Special Agent Cody Bay says, there's a movie about this game?
Nice.
And Samuel A, which I think is Nikolai, gave me a negative
one. Nice. By the way, I wonder if Special Agents Cody Banks knows that there's a movie about his name too.
I think he might.
You never know. Might. You never know. All right, Spec Ops 26, the Avengers Age of Ultron Spec Ops is in full swing, been around for a few days. Instead of getting a new character, we're getting an alt for a pair of alts for an existing character, which actually should be a pretty a nice thing for people who have been leveling characters and training them and that sort of thing and don't want to have another new level one character to start with, especially since we just got Chase and maybe Victor for some people. It's maybe not time to introduce another level one character that we're going to be ramping up. It's a nice break.
It just wouldn't affect me. Like,
yeah, it is.
Right. Yeah, you've got so many other people to
a big dozen going on anyway. So
right. But this will be good for those of us who have maybe a lot of 14s, some 13s. We can be focused on just, you know, I usually have a reserved bay in the training bay for whoever I'm leveling that's like under level 9 or level 8. And right now that is just Victor. So getting Victor ramped up and then just getting into a full run for the next month to get as many characters leveled up to 14 is going to be a fun task.
Yeah, I found an odd thing. I thought I had a lot of 13s waiting to get a 14 because it's so expensive. Mm-hmm. So every time I break 400 in silver, I look at who I need to train a little bit, who, like Cable and Bishop, I'm trying to train them up now because I'm trying to beat that
heroic. Oh my gosh.
Heroic. Yeah, it's so tough. I look at who I need, and if I don't need anybody, I'll go ahead and push for the 500,000 and do a level 14. I just discovered I'm all out of level 13s. Everybody's at level 12 or they're level 14. Mm-hmm. There is a 1%er gap here that we need to fix, people.
Basically, it's a long tail setup, right, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Everybody, my minimum character other than, I think I'm working with Angela right now. Angela and Chase is on the flight deck. Mm-hmm. Other than those two characters, everybody's a minimum of 10 or higher. So I've got bonuses for every hero that I have except for two, which is a really interesting and cool place to be.
Nice. Yeah. It's great.
So I'm happy.
Cool. Let's talk about the Hulkbuster. So
you mean this Hulkbuster that is freaking heavy, so I can't even sit him on a microphone because it'll drag it down that Hulkbuster?
That's a pretty sweet-looking Hulkbuster.
God.
Does it only appear after your current Iron Man figure hits 100% energy? Because
I'm sure I should have something woody there, but I don't.
Because that's the way this Hulkbuster works. The new alt, you get a pair of alts. You get a Bruiser Hulkbuster and a Blaster Hulkbuster, and it's really an alt that you can switch to. So you start out with your regular Mark 14 Iron Man. Is it Mark 14? I think that's what it's called, right?
It should be.
Mark 14. Mark 43. What am I talking about? Mark 43.
It's got to be a different mark because it changes. So technically, it's a whole new suit.
Yes. I'm sorry. Mark.
Right. It's that deep continuity that we look
right.
for.
Right. It's just called Avengers Age of Ultron Iron Man, but I'm guessing it's the Mark 43 since we've had the Mark 43, Mark 42. Like I said, you've got Bruiser and Blaster alts. And after you use the Iron Man, his powering up buff a few times, which you get on his first two actions. Once you get up to 100%, then you can have the ability to switch over to the Hulkbuster uniform. And that comes in. You basically get to use that thing until it runs out of energy, and then it scales back down to regular Iron Man. I take that back. The first three, so it was level 1, level 2, and level 6, I'll give you 10% power up or 20% power up.
And you have to get 100% power up?
That's right. First two, level 1, level 2 give you 20%. Level 3 gives you 10%. And as you build those up, you know, then you've got the ability. Now, the fourth ability is your Unibeam. So you kind of got this decision on some of these enemies. Like, do I just pound them with the Unibeam, or do I work my way up to?
So wait, this is a Doom Cannon scenario all over again. really, really cool. We can't wait to get there. And most fights aren't going to last long enough to get to the suit. Because the quickest you can go by math is in 5 rounds.
Well, unless you... Oh, I take that back. Samuel says you just need above 40% to activate. Let me switch over to that here. And keep in mind, you can also use characters like Angel and Cable that give Iron Man extra turns, and he can ramp that thing up a lot faster.
And he says a bruiser and a blaster.
Bruiser and blaster. There we go. You have to get to
because tactician would be way too easy.
There it is, right there. Yeah, you can. You have to get 50%, at least 50%, and then you start with 10% and gain 10% per round. So you can switch over to Hulkbuster. Okay. It's funny. I've used it for the heroic, which operates a completely different way. You start out with the Hulkbuster in the Hulkbuster versus Hulk heroic. You've already got 100% and you're just pounding on Hulk with that. And but I haven't used it yet in regular PvE non-heroic missions. So scratch all the stuff I said prior to it. You have to get it up to 50% and then you can switch over to the Hulkbuster armor. And then you keep using that until you run out of energy and then you switch back down to regular Iron Man.
God, I cannot wait to play with this thing.
It's got a lot of power. It's, you know, it's a beast. It's got, for the repulsor blast is what switches over to your unibeam focus. So if you are wanting to kind of build up that unibeam, you'll use his L2, which is the unibeam focus, to do some damage. And then once you're drained, that drains out 20% of your power. Once it drains, then you can start going back to your Iron Man unibeam focus without, or Heartbreaker unibeam without losing any gap. Cause you know, if you don't use it, you lose it with the unibeam. As far as the sprite, it's gorgeous. And it's, you know, it looks really, really cool. That heroic battle, I will tell you, I will warn you right now, is a pain in the ass. You are going to want to, the second you get your armor, you're going to want to ramp up all of the ISO in the blaster version because you're forced to use the blaster version. Okay. And the big drag about that is that Hulk is a tactician.
Oh, of course he is.
So he gets...
Which I have a question about Hulk in a minute. Okay.
You're going to want to bump up your ISOs. You're going to want to throw in an E-ISO, potentially like a soothing rest or a soothing E-ISO so you get some health or a shield, something like that. And you're also going to want to throw in some augmented ISO into that armor as well. Recovering ISO is the one that gives you health. But yeah, you want to swap in some augmented ISO too, because you're going to need every bit of power you can get. There are times that you will do that heroic that you don't even get a turn before Hulk wipes you out.
Oof.
So you're going to want to only do this thing once. you're only going to want to, you're going to want to make sure that once you succeed going through this thing, you're only going to want to do it once. It is, it's a tough fight. There's some strategy involved with just making sure that, you know, you do what you can to take away some of Hulk's other turns, resting to gain back some health, but just really a lot of praying to the RNG gods that, that Iron Man's shield procs up to block a lot of damage from the Hulk, and also that Hulk doesn't use his massive damage dealer. I think it's called like the giant size Hulk smash or something like that. Nice little nod to the comics there. You're going to want to hope that he uses that as little as possible. But once you get through that, that opens up the simulator, which gives you a set of tasks that you can then do to get the Hulk alt. And it's one simulator mission. It's not like a series. It's not a bunch of simulator missions. It's one mission where you've got three levels or three sets of Ultron sentries that you have to take out. And if you complete that, the Hulk pants are available to you to buy for the low price of like 72. Let me pull these back up here because you actually have to buy them with CP. 72 and 63 CP to buy the two different Hulk alts.
And what are they? Are they
tactician?
I'm assuming one's tactician
and right? bruiser.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've already looked at what they offer for you, but they give you the bulk up. Or I'm sorry, no, that's from my EI. So let me pull this one up here. That's my secret. So you gain 2 hulk ups each round. You gain a hulk up when you're attacked. And then if you pair this guy up, this hulk up, with any of the other Age of Ultron alts, then
their attack can't be interrupted.
Correctamundo. Yep, as long as Hulk is around.
So that means like the Rash Shank and mm-hmm. and interrupted Null. By yeah. Yep. That
Heimdall, you can't presumably do that. Yeah.
Well, look at that.
Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out and how, you know, if we see these in PvP. My guess is that if people are going to be using one Age of Ultron character, they're going to be using multiple because
why not?
Well, here's the deal. I'm guessing that all of them are going to have some sort of Age of Ultron benefit, kind of like right. the Guardians of the Galaxy benefits where...
Or like the Avengers. Well, they didn't change it for the Avengers outfits, but everyone, you know, 2 Avengers together yes. does automatic...
Right, automatic joint attack, blah, 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 coordinated blah, blah. Attack. Yeah, the Warriors 3, same kind of thing, where if you have one, you're going to want to use 2. And my guess is there's probably also going to be a weapon introduced that makes you an Avenger or like a, you know, a... honorary Avenger, kind of like the Guardians of the Galaxy patch, the tankard for the tankard for the Warriors 3, that sort of thing. So some cool stuff. And it was a blast getting through it. And big thanks to nice. People who posted tips and ideas and suggestions online.
It was
and
a blaster getting through it.
Okay, so here's my thing about Hulk, right? I fought him. By the way, I believe there's a little... 2 glitches in the form of the long tradition, rather, of gamers crying on the internet. This is me crying on the internet for a second. One, the glitch is that it shows 2 epic bosses, mm-hmm. 1 in mission 2, 1 in mission 3. Yes. That's not the case. There's no epic boss in mission 2.
There is. That's
it says the Hulk's the epic boss, but he's the boss.
He's also the epic boss, and you don't get the epic boss fight until you've completed all 25 tasks.
Oh,
and then that's when the epic boss opens up. That's when the Hulk epic boss opens up for Iron Man, which is more, it's a heroic battle rather than an epic boss, but you still don't get it until everything else is cleared out.
So you got to go through all of it and then you can do that. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
So that would be my mistake there. But then the second thing is I understand that the Hulk is a tactician. Mm-hmm. And I ended up taking 1 or 2 blasters in against him in one battle. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. He never got exhausted. He attacked yes. me 5 or 6 or 7 times. I lost count. Because at first I wasn't counting because I was like, oh, he gets extra attack. Oh, there's a – wait a minute. That's got to be at least 4. Holy – and he just decimated my entire team without ever stopping his yes. attack. I'm like, that doesn't seem correct.
Nope. His actions have something called anger management, which consumes a Hulk up to gain an extra action. So
I must have highlighted him after he did that because I was looking for something. Well, I don't just assume, yeah. right? Yeah. I don't just go, oh, my God. I actually put my arrow over him after all his turns were done to look for something like that. I didn't see it. So he must have used it up. So, yes. okay.
Yeah, basically.
That makes sense. But holy cow, people, be careful. Oh,
it's brutal. Yeah, his level 1, level 2, and level 6 all give anger management. So if you attack him, he gets a Hulk up, and then he automatically, because of his that's my secret, he gains 2 Hulks up or Hulk up yeah. every round. So as long as he's always using his 1, 2, or 6, level 1, level 2, level 6 attacks, he's yeah. going to have like 2, 3 extra turns per round. So
that got a very much got a Ron Burgundy. Well, that escalated quickly. Yes. I don't know what happened there. Let me get some more scotch.
And that's one of those things that while you're fighting him as Iron Man with the Hulkbuster heroic is the most frustrating thing because, and basically his worst attack is the giant size Hulk smash. That's the one that does the most damage to you as the Hulkbuster. That's the one that doesn't give him a quick action afterwards. Unfortunately, it's the bad trade-off, right? Because it gives it,
right.
it does the most damage, but it also, and it'll effectively end his attacks on you, but it's the thing that you know will wipe you out faster than anything else. So it's a real it's a real frustrating battle, but it's fun to go through once and be done with it.
And don't play with it. This was just a regular boss battle. This wasn't even the heroic. This, you know, just like you talk. Never mind. See, Klotz, the way you're laughing, you're making me tell dirty jokes, and I don't think that's what our audience wants. But I went in with Beta Ray Bill because I'm having fun playing with him. I'm playing with a new gun that I won in PvP that has to be charged up by electricity, and I'm playing. I'm using Angela a lot as well, so. In that battle, you have to use Thor. And I used the suit that started off with two Might of Mjolnirs already on him. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, I'll use Beta Ray Bill. Then I'll get bonuses because they're both Asgardian and this and that and the other. And I'll charge my gun. And Beta Ray Bill is a blaster slash bruiser, which I think is what set the Hulk off. He punched either my agent, which is a blaster, or Beta Ray Bill. And then it was just like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. So I stopped it before I lost any points. So I could, you know, get my two stars or whatever. But I did go back in with my quick kill team. I took in, you had to have Thor, but that took in Iron Patriot and just nuked the crap out of the Hulk. Actually, I took Red Hulk in too at one point, another time through. Mm-hmm. He's a good person to use because you just do that bulwark every time he comes up with it as a quick action because if you have snappy service. And it does really well because as soon as the Hulk punches him, which he will, he just sucks so much energy out of him. It's not even fun.
Nice. Yeah, it's a good way to do it.
So how was Ultron? I'm hearing a lot of things that Ultron is just this nasty beast of a machine to fight against.
He is, although you're forced to use Iron Man with him. And that's a blessing in disguise because you set him up with Rescue. And not only can Rescue, you know, use all of her quick action stuff to do the shields, to do the replenishing, you know, the health stuff, the status reset. It keeps all the attacks off of Iron Man so that he can just build up the Unibreaker, boom, 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 one right after the other and obliterate Ultron and his sentries.
Nice.
Yeah, it's much easier. And the benefit of that obviously is that you get a good team up bonus too by using Rescue and Iron Man together. Because the big thing with all the Spec Ops missions is stars are a goal, right? Because we've got a couple tasks right. That rely on stars. So you want to make sure you use the best combos. It's not a place to level new characters. It's not a place to try out, you know, different teams. It's a place to use the established team up bonuses that you can get or established characters that can do massive overkills. And with Rescue and Iron Man, you get both. You get good team up bonus and you get massive overkill with the Unibreaker, the Heartbreaker Unibeam, which should just be called the Unibreaker. Let's call it the Unibreaker.
The Unibreaker, sure. Yeah. Unibeam. Might as well. Now, Klotz, are you watching the chat room, Klotz?
I am.
There was some updates there, if you want to read those, about the agent.
I don't know what you're talking about. You read them.
You know, you hire a guy.
I've been watching.
In the very beginning, you hire a guy just to watch the chat room, and then he gets to be a superstar. And he's like,
I've been watching you too. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so both Samuel 8 and Tonfa Man, back-to-back, put in the official set pieces, lesser piece passive. If you have two pieces of the newest set weapons, you apparently will get the Age of Ultron bonuses, but only the official set, not the lesser set.
Right.
So that will give you the bonuses as well is the update.
Yes. So yeah, stuff like the there it is right there, and it's funny because it doesn't list it in the hoverover. So like if I've got a couple of the actual pieces of the Legionnaire set, one of them that you craft, another one that I think I got from the Epic Battle, and it tells you gains a bonus for each Legionnaire set piece equipped. And they spelled equipped wrong. Nice. But it's so...
Grammar Nazi.
But it does... I've got set piece 1 of 4 and 2 of 4. And neither one of them say anything about about giving you that bonus. So it's not in the hover over, but yeah, I did see that they posted that, and I think I've seen that other places too to confirm it. So,
which is nice, because then we don't have to pick and choose. Do we use a new set or do we use this, you know, Ultron badge on our shoulder?
Right.
Yeah, we get to actually do both, which is I think a nice change of events.
Totally. Yeah.
There. So what else? What else do we have in current events?
Let's see, dailies. So the dailies, there was some discussion about in the latest stealth patch or the latest patch notes that the amount of points for stars has changed. I haven't seen it. I've just ran through a daily, today's daily, just to see, you know, if I go through kind of in the usual way that I do, using team up bonuses, getting a couple. Quartermaster bonuses, etc. It feels like it's about the same amount of points to get two stars that I've gotten before. But I'm curious to see what agents in the lounge are seeing, if they're seeing something different.
I haven't played a daily in probably a month now, I think.
Okay.
I just got caught up in the PvP, the other Spec Ops. Now we got this new Spec Ops. And I'm really wanting the Hulkbuster outfit, so I'm pushing. For me, I'm pushing really, really fast through Spec Ops, which is, you know, about half speed of Ibbot and about an eighth of the speed as the people who whine about, hey, I finished Spec Ops in a day. Right. Why is there no new content?
Exactly, yeah. So. Yeah. Samuel Singh has changed the daily stuff, changed from three stars to five. And what does that mean exactly?
There were always five stars.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because you go through all five levels. You get the the silver, the more silver, the XP, the gold bar, and the CP.
Yeah.
So I don't. That's not a change.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Unless it went from five to three. So, hey, it's. I'm sure they'll fill us in. Art Shadow put in a Wikia about the Legionnaire set. So yeah.
Yep. Good, and that's got the information about the four pieces, and then if you've got the Legionnaire set. I want to find the information here about the giving you the Avengers team up bonus, but I don't see that. Anyway. Anyway, but yeah, so this is a great, I think it's been a great Spec Ops. It's continuing to be a good Spec Ops. It's going to be a fun one to farm.
The story is good. Yeah.
The story's good, and there's enough content in here and enough good stuff to collect that farming is going to be way more of a pleasure than the Runaways Spec Ops. I think that's. Yeah. I think everybody.
Well, you have
will
a
agree
lot more
that.
Choice of who to use that's right. too. That's a key
yeah,
there.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
Think.
For sure.
So let's see what else we have here. We have, oh, this is you, Klaus, yeah. the Valve Skyrim mod controversy. Now, to set this up, this is not directly related to MAA. However, we do talk about subjects that will affect gameplay, that could affect the future of our game. And while we don't have mod communities in MAA, I believe the way this major company has handled this controversy was a good sign of things to come. So go ahead and take that off, Klaus.
Well, mostly we just want to discuss this briefly because it's an interesting that happened as far as monetization of games. For those of you who don't know, Valve and Bethesda launched a new service where they were allowing mod creators to charge for their mods in the Steam Workshop. As a matter of fact, I believe they took down all the ones that were previously free and let people post them up for a price. And the price was split amongst the mod creator, Valve, and Bethesda. In this case, they were pioneering the program with just Skyrim. Now, for those of you who don't know, Skyrim has a huge modding community. The Elder Scrolls do in general, but there's a few other games out there that have modding communities, but Elder Scrolls has always been a really big one. It's existed pretty much as long as these games have existed, so it adds a lot of value and life to a game that once you've played it and played through all the DLC and everything, you can go in and download all the mods and change the experience of the game and just really kind of tweak it to your interest and do a whole bunch of new stuff. You know, like you can play through again with different textures. You can add, I mean, people have done everything. People have done like complete overhauls of the user interface. They've added, like done complete overhauls of whole areas on the map and everything. So there's lots of incredible stuff that they've done. Now, Valve has said, and Bethesda has supported them in this, and saying that they rolled this out because they wanted to enable content creators to do this full time. You know, if they monetize it, then in theory, people who, you know, the good mod creators could earn enough revenue to do it full time. They wanted to enable that.
Which is a very cool idea.
It's a great idea. The issue is the internet turned into a firestorm, as it is wont to do. The internet exploded over this, and especially on Reddit and some of the various internet communities out there, there was a lot of dissatisfaction, a lot of outrage. And just to kind of explore the whole thing, it went up on, I believe it was Thursday, and it was down yesterday. they pulled it back on Saturday. Gabe Newell, you know, Gaben from Valve, the president, CEO of Valve, he went on Reddit and said, hey, I was traveling and going to see my doctor, and I've got 3,500 emails in my mailbox, and I'm going to call. Apparently, we did something to piss off the internet. His words exactly. And so he comes in, and he talked about some of the intent behind it and everything. And really, one of the big things that people were upset about is the split. So for the fee that was taken, let's say something's a dollar, on the dollar, 25% of that, 25 cents of it would be going to the mod creator, 45% of it would be going to Bethesda, and then the balance was going to Valve. And that's what really kind of upset people initially, is that like the lion's share was not going to the mod creators. So, you know, that's the one thing, is like it's a really small portion is going to the mod creators. A huge lion's share of the portion is going to the publisher and Valve for being a distributor. The other issue was that people ran around the internet and started grabbing work that other people had put out previously and started posting it as their own. So they're basically pirating other people's mods, posting up as their own, trying to monetize it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a lot of that going on too. So the big takeaway was that the mod communities existed for a long time. They were really upset about this. There was really no warning that this was coming. It just kind of came up out of nowhere. And, you know, right now there's a lot of controversy, especially on Steam, because Steam is a great platform for computer gaming. If you're a PC gamer, you probably have a Steam account. You've probably gotten some AAA games and even some indie and roguelikes for dirt cheap, because that's one of the best benefits of it, is the digital distribution allows them to do these crazy sales. And like I ended up rebuying Skyrim. I bought it full price when it first came out on Steam, but I ended up rebuying it when it was a game of the year on sale to get all the DLC and stuff for like $12, you know what I mean? So it's a great platform, but there's been a lot of controversy because there's been a lot of crummy DLC that companies have put out recently. And the general consensus on DLC is like, well, is this actually supplemental, you know, content, or is this just an incomplete game that you're selling us and then charging us later for the rest of it? And then there's also issues with some early access programs for games where, you know, developers are letting people buy into early access and do the alpha and the beta testing, and then they're not necessarily delivering on the product that was promised, and the early access is kind of buggy and just a poor experience, and whoever knows if those games are going to get produced. So there's a lot of stuff going around in the PC gaming community, and then this just hits and just like sets everything aflame. The bad example is that it's the functional equivalent of what's going on in Baltimore right now, except on the internet. It just it added fuel to the fire and got a lot of people really upset. So Valve and Bethesda agreed. They rescinded the program, and they're fully refunding everybody who was involved, which is a good move. You know, that's great. Anybody who bought anything, you're getting your money back, which is great. So it kind of leads us to the point to talk about this. You know, we talk about monetization with MAA and some other games. It's such a weird situation, because it's the idea is really pure and good. Like, hey, let's enable these content creators to make some money. Mm-hmm. But the dangers, you know what I mean, is that slippery slope of pay to win, mm-hmm. and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Though with the modding community, it's not really quite such a deal because it's not an MMO. But you know, so what do you guys think about this? I know, like, McFall, you're not necessarily a PC gamer, so you're kind of getting that outside perspective.
Yeah. Again, you know, on paper, it sounded great. I used to be 100% PC gaming all the time many years ago. And, you know, honestly, right now, if it's not on my tablet, I can't play it very much at all, you know, with MAA going on. But I love the idea. The heart behind it was, hey, not only do we embrace this community of creators who are not us, we want to give them money so that they can create more and do more awesome stuff. The fact that they didn't get any community feedback ahead of time is kind of a bad business move. Yep. They didn't look at the pay structures. It's still a very corporate move, right? It's still like, yeah, hey, we're gonna support you. Here's a quarter. Call somebody who cares.
Exactly.
You know? So execution gets a zero, but the sad part is, yeah, people will get stealing things and they'll try to monetize it. But that's the wild, wild west. Anytime you launch something new, there's going to be the bandits out there. Right. But that gets weeded out eventually. So I kind of put that as a neutral point because I think they could have taken care of that. And the internet outrage, for once, it kind of worked well. Although, you know, your allusion to Boston is horrible and accurate at the same time.
It was successful, right? I mean, it did what it was set out to do. Whether or not that was the right thing, you know, that's the debate. But
yeah, I mean, it's a crazy topic, you know, and it's just it's the biggest, one of the biggest things that's going on in gaming culture right now, especially PC gaming, is, you know, bang for your buck, the value. You know, we've come to a point where consumers are not as ready to just hand over, hey, Mr. Big Developer, here's my $60, and just be happy about it anymore. You know, they're hypercritical now of the products that are being put out, the games that are coming out, because of the overall high level of quality. You know what I mean? Like, there's just, there's so much stuff out there and such high quality games that get put out. And then you see some of the same publishers over and over again kind of pumping out junk, you know. Some of them have developed a bad reputation for putting out relative garbage. And then you've got some of the others, like people who put out a promising mod, like the whole DayZ fiasco. You know, the guys involved with that, they put out this promising mod, and then they're going to go develop their standalone game. And then it just turns into this huge morass of, like, we took all your money and we don't give a shit what you think. Like, literally, like, the, you know, the owner coming out and saying that, like, oh yeah, I don't really care what you guys say, you know, crazy stuff like that. It's just, it's tough, you know. Like, obviously these companies need to monetize. You know, like, my stance on it was, I know that Valve's got to get a piece of it, you know, because they're the one providing the servers and the infrastructure and the distribution, and they're hosting it, you know, so they got to get a little piece of this. And, you know, the real question becomes, like, how much of it does Bethesda get as the developer of the core game that the mods are all based around? It, you know, it's like, the thing for me, the thing is, the modding community adds value to their product. You know, there's zero development cost that goes into that. It doesn't cost Bethesda a dime. And not to mention, they're getting all this revenue outside of the normal revenue earning cycle. Like, you know, usually most games that come out, you got, you know, a year to 18 months to really cash in. That's when you're going to expect most of your revenue to come in. You know, the people who are going to get it right away, and then there's going to be that trickle effect over the next couple holidays and all that kind of stuff. And with the PC version of these games and the modding community surrounding them, in theory, there's still people buying the game to get in, you know, later on and do the modding and stuff. And then there's people just still playing your game. You know, this is keeping your game on the tip of tongues, you know, people talking about playing Skyrim and any other game with modding still for years after the fact. You know, I mean, I think we're over 3 years out now from Skyrim coming out. So, you know, how much do they deserve if you monetize this stuff? Like, how much should they get out of it being the IP holder and providing the base game, you know, that all of this other work was done on?
You know, I think at most, and I know that probably wasn't a real question, but
no, it is.
At most. Okay. I think it should be split in thirds, you know, because we couldn't mod if we didn't have your game
right,
and we didn't have the distribution of your game. that's the max. If you're going to swing it anyway, you should swing it in the mod's favor, because that's how you encourage people to give you passive income. And that's the key that they missed, is this is not active income. You're not having to work at it to earn your cut. You've already done the work.
Right.
You're going to continue to earn cuts for, as we've seen with some of the online games that didn't do well, but they still played for a while, a decade of going, wow, that game's still going? You know, like, I don't remember the official name, but Star Wars Universe, where you could play online all the time. That had a massively successful community, but a very low commercial success. And it went as long as it could go, and then they finally closed it down and had parties, and it was a very much a community thing. But it's like, that's active income, but that's also active income because of a community.
Yeah.
You know, you did the best you could, much like MAA here. And we could go on. And honestly, Klotz, I know you're coming up on the end of school. You really need to get your podcast going, because you've got an angle on things. Yeah. I think there's definitely a niche for
a very good insight, for sure.
Yeah. So real quick, before we get to the king, we have a very, very special announcement. We've been alluding to this for a while. We announced back at Dragon Con last year in September that we're going to be starting to build our own network. We realized doing just a podcast on a game, on a singular game, that's not WoW, probably won't last very long, or obviously not take awards home. I tease. But the fact is, we're trying to expand what we love about this universe. We want to do more. And I still have a show in development, PXP, or panel by panel, that is almost ready to go. And, you know, Klaus has got a show in development. But the first official new show to the network, we just signed on the dotted line today. It'll be launching tonight. We welcome to the Helicarrier Network, the MCU cast.
Yay!
So... They've definitely that was so enthusiastic for Klotz. Yeah. Obviously, I've been talking about them for a couple of weeks now. I'm a huge fan of the show, which is the number one attention getter if we're going to consider you for the network. And I've been in talks with them for a while. Two great guys, Matt Carroll and Jeff, not Carroll. I can't remember Jeff's last name right now. They do some amazing stuff. They've done this great mini episode series for Daredevil. So you can binge watch Daredevil and binge listen at the same time, because there are 20-minute episodes that goes with each episode. Daredevil is great. So you should check it out. But they're officially being launched for the Ultron movie. We're doing a special event. They're going to go to the midnight release, and they're going to rush home and do a brand new spoiler full, by the way, so you got to be careful with it. Take your time, watch the movie. But spoiler, full episode about the Age of Ultron, and it'll be featured on the front page of Blog Talk Radio, so please check them out. blogtalkradio.com/MCUcast.
Nice.
Is where you'll find them. So, and they're officially the second show, the thing is, we're the flagship show. They're the second show, but the first outside show to sign on with the network. So very happy about that. Let's talk about some other partners that we have here. We are partnered with the Kingfisher, and I think it's time to give him some limelight here.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745, and this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, I hope that all of you are having a fantastic time with the brand new Spec Ops. And of course, like we figured, it does focus on the Age of Ultron. This is incredible because we actually got the Hulkbuster and a brand new Hulk costume that absolutely rocks. And you know what else is great? These costumes are only going to get better once we have more Avengers Ultron alts to build teams around. So it's like the gift that keeps on giving. As far as the weapon set, it may actually be decent. I mainly focus on the Legion Transponder right now because it's the one piece I'm guaranteed to have. As for the rest, well, we'll just have to see about that. But let's just stay positive, because maybe that'll bring us some luck. There are people in the Patreon group that seem pretty confident that they're going to get the weapons, and they seem to get them much more than myself. In the past, I've always been under the assumption that I have basically no chance to win any spec op item on the roulette, and that hasn't worked out for me so far. So I'm making the declaration right here that I'm going to get every weapon that I want, and let's see how that goes. Oh, and for anyone who cares, as far as being sick, I think I got over that pretty fast, but then my voice kind of left. I would say that's nearly fully back now. It's definitely close. That, of course, means my singing voice is back as well. So that's probably the biggest relief. You know, Marvel-related songs come to me all the time. Just the other day I was thinking, carry on my wayward son, fire. There'll be peace when you retire. Lay your weary flames to rest. Don't you fly no more. You know, I don't know. I didn't sing too loud because I don't want to wake up Robert and Nancy. My throat's sore. I've had a sore throat for a month and a half. And this is not an acoustic environment that's suitable to request this from me. But anyways, this week's video is going to focus on Victor, Man of La Mancha. And we all know that he has electricity power, so we're going to focus on that and static charge, plus magnetized. So for example, his Dragon Claw has deadly crits and electromagnet, so attacks against magnetized targets are guaranteed to critically hit. Well, one great weapon that we're going to use is the Solar Storm. It's catastrophic and AoE. It's going to place magnetized on the enemies. And by the way, it's a buff. So with the quick and powered isolate, it becomes a quick action. Pretty beastly, especially with someone like Victor. Then of course we have items like the Thunderstrike, the Staff of Storms, and so on. So we'll come up with a different mix of those weapons and gadgets that should give my agent great synergy with this new runaway. That part should be fairly fun and simple, but as far as team ups, I'm not even sure who to use first. For the All Hail the King video, I have to narrow it down to three. But I really want to use Carolina Deen, Beta Ray Bill, Magneto, and Mighty Thor just for starters. You know what else would be great though? Using someone that can give him Rally. That way Calculator Kid could be a quick action. Well, what I can tell you is whoever doesn't make the All Hail the King video will be in another video where we have an extended look at Victor in PvP. This may come down to a coin flip. Well, I suppose we'll use Mighty Thor first, and then Beta Ray will be in that other video. I do want to use Magneto. Then Carolina Deen, well, she's a real gimme team up. Everyone saw how they performed in the last Spec Ops. So, I'm going to use Captain Marvel, and we'll see just how well he does with Rally. I'm excited. I think it's going to be awesome, so make sure you tune in. Victor is the man, and with the right agent setup, I think he's going to be formidable, at least on offense. So yes, that's going to be the next episode, right after the Vigilante Toolkit episode, which will be completed and posted soon. I'm getting very close to done with the Spec Ops and the task list videos, so there's going to be some epic PvP action very soon. Other than that, you'll just have to tune into the channel to find out. But that is going to be it for today's segment, so I want to thank you all for listening, and then send it back to the amazing hosts.
Yes! Cool. So hopefully I turned down the right one. You don't get any kind of feedback on yourself.
Nope. It's just fine.
Seems so good.
Yeah.
Cool, cool. So that was us. Carry on, my wayward son. Very well. Very well done, sir.
Nicely played, Kingfisher. Nicely played.
I kind of wish that last line had been, don't you walk no more, because he doesn't have legs anymore.
Oh.
you know, somebody was asking me the other day, like, hey, I got these five characters to pick from, and I have, you know, almost 300 CP. What do I get? And out of the five, Black Bolt was like the only one I could recommend at all, because it had Shanna and Sunfire. I don't really remember the other two options, but I was like, honestly, Shanna and Sunfire, unless you just like them in the comics, mm-hmm. or you read on their stats and say, oh, this is, he's got this attack or she's got that attack, and it sounds fun to play with, they're just not worthy, you know, to take from what's going on with the chapters. But
yeah,
what do you guys think? I mean, we need Sunfire to become one of the worthy, don't we? Just even have him be
just
useful.
Just to make him a viable character again, yeah.
Yeah.
See, I like Sunfire, but like, you're not wrong. Like, he's just not, he doesn't pack the punch that he seems like he should. Mm-hmm. His abilities just don't scale the same way that other characters do, but he's got a cool set of abilities, like, mm-hmm. and they do cool things, but yeah, they just don't pack the punch. And the other thing is his one move punishes your own team, so that kind of sucks too. So like, mm-hmm. but well. OKFS 87.7 is saying that he's really good for the blasters only daily versus symbiotes. Mm. So.
I can see that. I think I actually did use him in that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian. I didn't mean to cut you off twice.
Oh, no, that's all right. So basically, I mean, he's a character that relies on a few pieces of gear to make him healthy on the agent. So like if you're going to run Sunfire, all of a sudden you need to worry about your own loadout and having like the Hotshot or the, what is it, the Kamaguchi, whatever the fist.
Yeah, the flame fist, right. The Cascut.
Right. Yeah. Things like that so that you can apply flame and take advantage of those other things when, you know, so you're not relying on Sunfire's turns only to get the other team a flame. So it's, you know, there are characters that you don't need to worry about weapons for, but there are some you do, and Sunfire happens to be one of those that you do.
Yeah, and that's a little side note, but I just want to throw that in. But cool song, Fisher,
Kagetsuchi, so, that's it, yes.
We're going to jump into, and you know, Klotz just held back from schooling us on that because he has schooled us before on how to say that.
Yes.
He just shakes his head, holds the bridge of his nose, and moves on now. So, and we appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean,
so, sure. You're very
if
educated.
If I took the time to correct all the mistakes that we made on this show, it'd just be...
How much time? Like any time.
I love that he throws in the royal we, being that it's really 90% me and like 10% Emmett.
Well, you know? I mean, if my roommate who's in the other room had heard what you called Star Wars Galaxies...
Okay, though, I led with I don't really remember what this was called, so I'm going to give it a name that lets you know what I'm talking about. I didn't like try to even remember that.
So Galaxies was the failed MMO and Universe was the failed Stargate show. All right, just to help you out.
Failed is a strong term for that show.
Without resolving its storyline, I think it failed.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you that.
One to nothing.
You win. All right, so we got another piece of audio here. So I'm going to turn the knob back up. This is the beginning of From the Field with Undercover from the Field coming
Command
into us.
Helicarrier. This is Agent Uncle George signing in. Since my undercover activities keep me from boarding the helicarrier most Tuesdays, I will be filing these audio reports on a semi-regular basis to cover MAA topics that are on my mind. Before I begin, my condolences to the family and friends of Jesse Agent Disco Booty Henderson. I know his absence will be felt in these circles. First item. On a related note, I want to say I fully agree with what Jesse wrote in his final letter to FTH. I too feel that the thinking that in PvP, nothing matters before game day is a myth. My approach up to PvP 16 was to fight my daily minimum required battles and push hard on the final 2 days. The three words best used to describe the results were, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. My best placement was upper diamond. I changed my method with the three most recent PvP seasons, hitting it hard in the first few days, getting up to 50 plus battles within 48 hours. After that, I would fight as my defensive battles dictated, so that I would make up any loss in rating, plus add a few more points. By the time game day rolled around, I had a comfortable cushion of several hundred points. This padding was thick enough that over the course of the last three PvP seasons, I finished in adamantium, yet I fought fewer than a combined 12 game day battles over these three seasons. Best of all, the forced refreshes that have recently plagued game day battlers did not concern me much. Next item. Another PvP myth I'd like to explode is you can't compete if you don't have the second training bay. This is not necessarily true, as my recent ADA finishes bear out. I never dropped 100 gold for the second bay, yet my PvP standings have improved as I've slowly but surely maxed out my hero's levels. Now, that said, I admittedly did begin playing MAA within weeks of its launch, so yeah, I did have a decent head start. So I cannot argue that anyone who signed up in 2013 or later should not get the second bay to help them catch up. But I'm skeptical that the dual training rooms significantly helped any veteran player. In fact, by the time this week's FTH is recording, all my heroes, save Angela and Chase, will be at level 14. And I just took a gander at the hero stables for McFallen Ibbet, who both have the second training bays. Guys, how in the hell did I beat you two to maxing out my heroes with a single training room? True, I did have over 60 million silver around the time the second bay was unlocked, so I didn't suffer during the silver drought as you might have. But over that time, we've had access to the same silver sources. So even though I trained over 90 heroes to the max in that time, constantly keeping someone training, my silver reserve has grown by 35 million. Yours could have grown by half that much, I would figure, allowing for steady training. Still think that was worth the 100 gold? Okay,
yes.
Okay. I know I'm being a snarky jerk about this, so I'm sorry, fellas. But bottom line, I am very happy that I saved my 100 gold for some choice premium ISO as well as the Warbringer axe. Finally, my tip of the week. I hear other players, McFall, dismiss the supply items that accumulate in our inventories. Most everyone knows what the great stuff is. Lost pages of Ashanti, Shwarma, candy buckets, and so on. But I submit that there are dozens upon dozens of items you can use during PvE battles that can provide some sweet advantages that will boost your scores in the dailies, spec ops, and scoring challenges. So here's my tip. Try to keep at least a few of each item available if possible, and learn what each item does and its pros and cons. There are so many that will help keep you alive, apply debuffs your team can exploit, boost stats, give extra turns, etc. So as you farm for ISO or weapons or XP, dip into that little chest on the bottom of the screen and frequently try out everything. You're sure to find some undiscovered gems that can really enhance your gameplay. And to help out with this, I intend to submit a series of articles to FTH to explore most, if not all, of these supplies and provide you with the advantages and disadvantages they offer, as well as how best to use them. I'll keep you posted. Well, that's my time for this week. Agent Uncle George, signing out.
Yeah, I should have listened to that first before playing.
Burned! They ripped out a couple of us there, and he's I mean, he's got the silver, man. I mean, he's got like 60 million silver, so of course he can keep his training, his solo training bay always running, and probably he's a thinker when it comes to this game. Like he maximizes everything. He knows, all right, I'm not going to be able to play this thing for another 8 hours. Pick a hero that needs to be leveled. It's going to take 8 hours or more. Boom, level him. Whereas I'm a little bit worse on that. It's like, well, I might get a new character out of this spec ops. I'm going to leave this training bay open for right now. And so I can totally relate to what he does. And I'm looking forward to his item discussion. Like he's going to be looking at all of those little items, you know, Venom, Valentine, stuff like that, and talking about what each one does so that you know it's like, oh, this one's actually really comes in handy for battles against machinery, like Ultron Sentries and things like that. So that's going to be some good stuff.
You know, I mentally, you're right. You know, mentally, you're spot on. I dismiss things, and you're right. I keep some pages of Ashanti's. I keep some shawarma. I keep the candy buckets. But that's three, maybe four items out of my entire inventory of a billion items.
Right. Right.
So while I do appreciate, and I will appreciate, rather, when he does break it down, I'll probably learn a lot about things I don't you pay attention to, or maybe, oh, I should have known that. I never knew that before. I'm still going to sell the crap out of myself.
Well, I mean, Chrono Boost, the things that give you two turns right now in all caps, those are great. Everything you can sell. I mean, we all know the crap that we have absolutely no need to keep. The crystals, the ISO crystals and shards and stuff like that. The level one, level two, level three, et cetera, stamina boxes and health boxes. We're never, ever going to use those. And really, you know, as long as there are last pages of Ashanti getting handed around in our, in gifts and things like that, we're probably not going to need those top level health boxes. Cause, I'll always throw a Ashanti, you know, page of Ashanti that not only gives me health, gives the rest of my team health, but also gives us, clears our buffs, or the ones that can clear. It's a no-brainer. So, yeah. I mean, there's things that we know that are going to be garbage, but he's going to kind of go through some of those other things and say,
now,
you know, adhesive X containers, here's what they're good for. Absolutely nothing. Say it again.
Thank you. right. Henry Devereaux says something interesting. I'm about to test this theory out, actually. He says, speaking of items, to repeat what I said earlier, because I didn't actually, I'm glad he repeated it. I didn't see it. My girlfriend used a Coptic jar on Vision before Ultron stole him, and he stayed on her team as well as joining Ultron. So I'm about to test this theory out right now.
Oh, that's crazy.
So I got a Coptic feel on Vision and see what happens. So
Should I take this time to correct both you and Henry and mention that it's
I read what was on the screen.
Jar.
Coptic. It's, you know, it's a contraction.
Oh.
But you can't make the pun canoptic a feel. That doesn't,
no, doesn't work as well. While you're doing that, why don't I take this first from the field letter, and we'll go from here. Hello, FTH Warriors 3. Agent Parrot checking in again. Bless me, O epic and golden age ones, for I have lapsed. It has been many shows since our last exchange. Being a long-term player, I'd like to share a few suggestions I'd like to see that I believe would improve the game and the hope Playdom takes a look at them because I know they listen. Number one. More ISO during Spec Ops. Spec Ops 26, Age of Ultron, has been live a week now, and I've just today collected Hulkbuster Iron Man alt. But the real frustration is the scarcity of ISO in all Spec Ops. While I can understand Playdom wants to keep this a premium commodity, I have a suggestion that would both give a little more to the players without completely destroying its scarcity. Simply change the drops on allies maps from one ISO to either two or three, like the 3x shield points. This would release about 50 to 100 extra ISO a day to help players better farm the weapons, eISOs, etc. Your thoughts? Thumbs up. Yeah, I'd love to see see anything that increases the amount of UISO that we get.
For sure.
Now here's where I get to eat crow for Uncle George.
Okay.
I apparently sold all of my Coptic, Canoptic, can't have it jars. I cannot test this theory out. So I have no idea. I have no idea if this is a reality or not because I don't own a single Canoptic jar.
Bummer.
I will be testing that out. I'd love to hear from everybody else who tests out that theory as well.
And
to just email us in and let us know what your results were. So let's go back to
sure. And a correction: it's pronounced Henri, not Henry. He's I'm guessing French. Better accessibility.
He's Henri.
He's Henri.
He's Southern. He's Henri.
The better accessibility to new players. The game is very heavily weighted towards high-level players with most heroes, PvP, and specific hero deploys for new chapters and spec ops. I'd like to suggest a CP price cut on all heroes over 1 year old by a factor of 1 degree, i.e. Spec Ops heroes from 200 down to 135, PvP heroes from 135 down to 90, 90 down to 48, 48 down to 33, 33 down to 23, and 23 down to 15. This would allow new players to collect older heroes more easily, but still allow Playdom to offer newer heroes at a current rate or current rates. I'd also like to see a CP bonus alongside the 1 gold for leveling up, but only to level 300. Not a huge number. It's just 3 to 5, again, to allow newer players to collect heroes quicker. With these two enhancements, I feel the game would have a better chance of attracting and retaining new players. So in other words, whenever you hit a new level, you get 3 to 5 CP along with it, and until you get to 300, and then it just becomes the gold benefit that we get. I mean,
that could be very useful.
Yeah, I think so too. It's a very good thing because CP, when you're leveling up, CP is the biggest resource that you're going to go through, that you're going to want to go through. PvP. I wish Playdom and Disney would take the PvP downtime to work on a fix to stop the game crashing on game day and work on some form of defensive fights limit. Yes, agreed. No doubt.
Yeah.
And work on a test bay. I want a defensive team test bay. That's what I want. Anyway, I must away. Danger room. Perfect. Yes. Does Disney own the rights to that though? I think Well, Marvel does. We'll have to figure that out. Anyway, I must away. I'm off to lead another Hydra cell off on another wild goose chase. Agent Parrot, a.k.a. the MAA Clairvoyant, out. Cool.
I love the creativity.
I do, too. I like that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it is really cool. I love the CP bonus, and I like the reduction of heroes. Because even in the early days when we first started and we only had 30 or less heroes to pick mm-hmm. from, it still was a challenge to go, which one do we
totally
pick
was,
up?
Totally was, yeah. And now there's over 110, right? So
yeah,
something like crazy. That, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's really the biggest thing is making those heroes a little easier to achieve, if mm-hmm. you will. I love the idea of, you know, year out. Like, once we've hit that year point, everybody gets knocked down. Even if they just did it periodically in chunks, like, they don't necessarily have to just automatically adjust pricing as everybody hits a year or whatever. But, like, just knocking it down a little bit, that would be awesome. They could even, for me, they could even stop at 48 CP and be like, all right, we're not going any lower. Like, this is it.
But as long as it brings down those big ones, those 200-point ones for characters that are over a year old, I agree. I think that's a really good idea.
The other idea that I've had, too, is that they could also consider changing the gold to CP ratio, because ultimately what that would do is generate more revenue for them. You know, so if they went up to like 3 or maybe even 4 CP per gold, they could make more money. You know, they could generate more revenue that way, and then people could catch up much easier. So that would be really good as another option as well. You know, one or the other would probably be fine. Both together would be just, you know, infinite bliss. And I say this, I have 290 CP characters left myself. So, like, I'm saying this as somebody who's about to, like, be in that just the 135s and 200s left. And even then, I don't have that many left to pick up. It's just this huge wall because they all cost so much. Mm-hmm. I say that as somebody who's kind of starting to age out of it, but like, it would be really beneficial. That's been the biggest struggle, is just trying to earn enough CP to regularly get new characters. And for me, the solution was to buy gold and just buy characters just to try to catch up. Hence my little Octomom situation right now. Because I went a little crazy recently, so I bought a bunch of people. So, but that's great. Always good letters from him.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Next, we have a letter from Agent Tech Paradox reporting in from the windy and damp plains of BFE, Illinois, with another round of thoughts on the latest developments in the game. In light of Agent McFall's reaction to the verbosity and length of my prior missives, I have opted to submit the thoughts in this mail in Twitter-length chunks of 140 characters or less. By the way, McFall, Twitter is this site where you can
post. Oh, bite me.
TLDR.
TLDR. Gold sale. Isosar Whisperer. Big fat meh. Up the proc rate on its counters, and it might have been worth it. PvP still sucked despite an A-League finish. Game day stats, 6 attacks, 36 defenses. How is this equitable? I agree. Mm-hmm. I disagree on heroic battles in SO. Having to spend about 1/5 of your daily UISO intake on one battle for a chance at an EISO, # weak sauce. These are great. Mm-hmm. Spec Ops launch problems. Game down for over an hour? Oh no, say it ain't so. Can we mark this one up as another # failure to launch? Despite that, the usual Spec Ops speed run progresses. Should have Hulkbuster by Tuesday night, and then it's on to farming the farming and the simulator. Still waiting for the further Avenger alts. I'm hoping for only simulator tasks to unlock them and not collection tasks. # drop rate sucks. I have heard more speculation rumbling for Crimson Dynamo as a lockbox hero. My take, not every villain needs to be rehashed into a lockbox. Also agree. Mm-hmm. All things being equal, I'd like to see heroes from the 90s make their way into the game. Bring on Speedball. # new content, please. That's it for thoughts on the game for this week, so I'll leave you with this reminder. Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. Agent out.
Nice. Very nice.
Now, a little bit of history there, and I'm actually asking because I'm not a super comic buff, but wasn't Speedball essentially the cause of Civil War? Was. The
catalyst.
Shot fired. Yeah, yeah. The catalyst. Yeah. Yeah.
It was his unpreparedness.
We will not see that in the movies.
Lack of training that caused, was it Nitro to explode and blow up the bus?
Well, they didn't know Nitro was hopped up on something else right. that actually made his explosions like 10 times bigger. Right. And yes, lack of training, and he just rushed in, and it killed so many people in Stanford. Mm-hmm. And, you know, spoiler alert, but that won't be in the movie, I'm pretty sure, at
Who
all.
Who knows?
Because they can't talk about mutants.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
And they haven't, and it's still a couple of years out, so it might be, but they haven't alluded to any of that part of the story.
Right.
So I think they're gonna use Ultron as
yeah, I think we can safely say that this is going to be a completely different approach to the same concept. You know, like the catalysts are going to be, they're going to tie into what's already happened in the movies. Mm-hmm. And they've got a lot of stuff to point at. You know, they have the destruction of New York. They have this whatever's going to happen in this film that half of us haven't seen yet. You know, like there's going to be things for them to look at and be like, look, you guys are unsafe. Yeah.
They got Almost Coulson to lead the charge.
Interestingly enough, too, I think it's funny because this seems to be the exact storyline that they're taking for that forthcoming Batman versus Superman movie, where the whole reason Batman's getting involved with Superman is to kind of follow up on the fact that, hey, this alien, this omnipotent, I always mispronounce that, omnipotent demigod alien shows up.
One to one.
Shows up and Metropolis gets destroyed, spoiler alert, and all this other bad shit happens. And so I'm going to come make sure that everything's okay. And there's a lot of outcry against Superman. That's what they're hinting at with the trailers that have come out, that they don't trust him. They, you know, they want him gone, all this kind of stuff. I think they're going to go the exact same route with Civil War and everything. They're going to look at the things that have already happened and be like, look at everything that's – because they're hinting at it with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. Like that keeps coming up in the various episodes where there are these elements at play that are like, you know, people with powers, you know, these fantastic individuals are maybe more dangerous than they're worth. So that's probably what's going to fuel the Civil War storyline, and that's going to be great. Very exciting, very interesting.
Yeah,
and I'm being schooled in the chat room. Speedball is not a mutant. Okay, I'm not that versed on him, and for some reason, and again, this is why I'm doing panel by panel, to go back and really read the stories and understand them better and get a deeper continuity and connection between everything else. Right. But I could have sworn he was part of the New Mutants.
Oh no,
apparently I'm wrong.
No, you know, when it comes down to it, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are mutants as well. And as long as they don't use that M word, then Marvel can put anybody that hasn't shown up or been referenced in a Fox movie into their deals. So that's the way that they can do it. New Warriors, by the way, not New Mutants. That's where that's probably where that confusion came from.
Maybe. Yep. And again, you know, when I cut my teeth on comics, it really was mainstream. Mm-hmm. X-Men and Avengers.
Sure, sure.
A little bit off of that with Punisher. I know most people consider Spider-Man mainstream, but he was not on my radar, so I call him, he's the one off for me. But so I only get that stuff in crossovers. But I am going back now. And just so you know, since I brought it up, thanks for bringing it up. You're welcome. Panel by panel, we'll be launching. And the co-host is none other than George, Uncle George, who, as you can tell, has lots of wisdom, loves to school me openly in front of people, which I love too. It's fun. It's enjoyable. And he's just got such a way about explaining things that really, to me, makes the show enjoyable. Yeah, so that's coming
out. It's going to be a great addition to the network for sure. Let me throw one other thing in. As of last night at about 9 p.m. Mountain Time, the Kickstarter for Live from the Cantina funded the Star Wars cover album that they're releasing with Coverville Records and Andrew Allen. So it is getting made, which is good because 2 weeks ago I sent them to the recording studio to record it. So I'm glad that my money is not going to be wasted there. And what's really cool is because they've already recorded it and we've already had it mixed, anybody who funds it is going to get the mixed tracks, the mixed album tracks on Friday. Digital tracks available for download on Friday to backers. So if there's anybody's still on the fence, this thing still has about 24 hours left. If you're been on the fence about it and you want that immediate gratification, back it in the next 24 hours and you'll have music by the end of the week. So that's something nice. Something to look forward to. Find yeah. another Kickstarter that will give you that quickly, right?
Right.
How long do I have to wait for this damn 3D printer, for Pete's sake? So anyway.
Luckily, you're not printing the CDs that these are going to be burned right. on.
Oh, God.
You're making 8-tracks. Make an 8-track tape with your 3D player, just a casing. And make sure, it look, that'd be awesome.
Sure, I'll be doing that. Actually, we did figure out the plan for the – so one of the higher levels is a USB drive that's got all of Andrew's other music on it. And
oh, nice.
I've been looking at different designs. I wanted to do something that was reminiscent of the Star Wars movies, but not something, you know, directly lifted from it. I didn't want to do a land speeder, for example, as a USB drive. But I am going to be able to do a block of carbonite with a drum, a keyboard, and a guitar partially sticking out of it, a la Han Solo, nice. As the USB drive. So that looks like it's going to be what the USB... the USB stick is going to be is a little block of carbonite.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So what are you guys looking forward to this week between shows? Cause we're probably, and obviously, but you've gone through Spec Ops and you're, what are you looking forward to?
Farming. A lot of farming. basically going through as much as I can to get some of those little Starship Enterprise thumb drives that you get that you need to collect to build all the other pieces. Mission One also has a weapon I'm wanting to go for. The Panther's, what is it? The Panther's Sting, is that right? Panther's Claw. I don't know. Looks like a pretty good non-Legionnaire set piece weapon that might be a good one to grab. So I'm going to be doing that. And actually, Mission One is pretty nice because you get an Iron Man deploy right away that only lasts for one fight, I think. So it's a good one to farm to build up those resource pieces for 20
USB drives.
USB drives for 20 USO at a time.
I am looking forward to leveling all of these stupid characters that I just bought. Sure. Well, I just bought Dr. Voodoo as well because in my runnings around, I have accumulated enough to buy him, which leaves me with 14 recruitable characters remaining, including Shanna as the only 90-pointer left. The rest are all 135s and 200s. I've reached that point where everybody, you know, basically takes a mint to buy. So it's not going to go quickly for these last 14, but I'm getting there, guys. I'm getting there. So all you people who give me shit all the time, eat it. Okay.
And El Snorco does have a point. Snorri says it's a Chromecast.
It's dongle. Totally the Chromecast.
It yeah. absolutely is, right? Right? Did you see, though, at the very beginning of the show, a throwback to the last show? He's like, hey, I just got my Nerd Crate. I can't wait to see what's in it.
Yeah, I saw that.
if you don't know what that means, go back to the last episode.
It's quite, there it is right there. There's the piece of equipment we're collecting for resources for the Spec Ops. How funny is that?
Yeah. So that is very cool. I am also looking forward to finishing up Spec Ops and farming to build the weapons because I was a little disappointed. Normally, there's an option to win. And I'm sure there is somewhere, but I'm like, I'm playing through and I'm watching the boss spin and like, hey, there's a weapon. Oh, I got it. Oh, it's like an Iron Man beacon thingy. Okay, that's not a Legionnaire set. Throw it away. You know, I want Legionnaire sets, people. And those I'm not winning, but I'm definitely
well. You're gonna get the Legionnaire more. The set piece that does the one you research. Yeah, that one calls.
I'm
in.
Researching it right okay, now.
Good.
Actually,
good. That is a set piece. Don't throw that away.
Yeah, well, I don't actually throw anything away, but I did get the Iron Man thing that looks like it, and I was like, "What is this? This is not a Legionnaire's weapon." I don't. Thank you. You know, and then I just fought regular Ultron, and I didn't get the weapon, but I looked at it. I'm like, I don't care about that gun. Mm. I mean, it might be good against Ultron while you're fighting him, but I want set pieces.
Yeah, that's
man.
And that's it's too much of a you setup know? Weapon. I did get that one, and I
did you?
Equipped it for about 3 rounds and said, "Nah, I want something else."
I did get the Vexing Pistol on either a PvP at the last season or it was Daily Spin. I can't remember recently, but I did get that. And it's not a piece, but it's actually a pretty decent weapon on its own. Mm. It's a decent gun. So check that out. I'm looking forward to more singing from the King next week. So we'll do that. Yes. So I think that is everything. Correct me if we've got something else. Anything
That's
else?
It. Nothing?
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, the boss has fled.